Let's bring it. Bring the shotgun. Come on, Matthew.
Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know, the main thing I want to talk about tonight is, you know, the difference between faith and hope. Lots of times, you know, the world easily gets these two confused, but this verse has quite a bit to say about it. I got to get there. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, how many of you have heard the term leap of faith? You know, it's a pretty common term out there. My dad always uses the example of Indiana Jones, where the one where he has to take the leap of faith off the cliff or whatever. And so he just jumps off and there just happens to be something there. Well, you know, guys, that isn't a leap of faith. That's a leap of hope. You know, and that's how a lot of people live their lives, you know, just hoping, wishing, praying that something is going to be there when they jump off. You know, but as Christians, we want to make sure that, you know, we're not taking leaps of hope, but we're taking confident steps of faith. You know, I think Hebrews 11:1 is definitely a really important verse to God's plan, because, you know, as physical beings, we can't necessarily see what's on the other side. But, you know, thanks be to God who preserved His Word throughout all these years, we can see, you know, through the proven Word of Scripture, you know, that there is something on the other side of death. You know, where those who have obeyed the gospel will go, you know, when God says that your time on this earth is finished. I remember at my Grandma Lana's funeral, my Grandpa Jay was preaching, and I remember he said, "I have more confidence in the resurrection of the dead than that this pulpit right in front of me even exists." And I'm pretty sure, because I'm leaning on it. So, you know, faith really is the conviction of things not seen. And we have proof through the Bible that God has given us. You know, in Luke chapter 17, the apostle said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And honestly, you know, I think that's a really great thing to pray for. You know, "Lord, increase my faith." You know, so much that, you know, I can't help but tell everyone else about it. And that through my actions that they will see my conviction. You know, so I'll just leave you with a question. Do you have faith or do you have hope? Do you have conviction or are you just wishing? Thanks.
Good evening. Turn, if you would, to the 1 Peter chapter 1. It says on the board here that I was going to do 4 through 12. Well, I got to start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, hath regenerated us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in the heavens for you, who in God's power are being guarded through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last ripe time, wherein ye exult, though for a little while, just now, if needful, put to grief in manifold temptations, in order that the proving of your faith much more precious than of gold that perisheth, even though by means of fire it is proved, may be found unto praise and glory and honor in the revealing of Jesus Christ, whom, not having seen, ye love, on whom, though at present not looking, but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable and filled with glory, being about to bear away the end of your faith, a salvation of souls. Concerning which salvation, prophets who concerning the favor for you did prophesy, sought out and searched out, searching into what particular or what manner of season the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was pointing to when witnessing beforehand as to the sufferings for Christ and the glories after these, unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us, they were ministering them, which things have now been announced unto you through them who have told you the good tidings with Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, into which things messengers are coveting to obtain a near view. And that's it, the faith picture. That these things that the prophets of old, you know, they prophesied, they were telling us what, they were telling the people what was going to come. They didn't even get to see it. We get to see it. They were telling us that something great was going to happen, that Christ Jesus was going to come into the world, that we weren't going to live under law. We're going to live by faith. We're going to be able to see Him. And yeah, we don't see Him now, but we love Him. And how are you going to love Him if you don't see Him? You got to have faith. You got to believe that what God says is going to happen. He's talking about temptations going to come through that are going to come. And you got to pull through those things. And when you pull through those things, you're being tested. You're going to test yourself. You're going to pull through these things, and your faith is going to grow. I mean, you could have physical problems. You could have financial problems, anything like that. Keep your eye focused on Christ and what's available to us, because we have a treasure. We have a treasure, an inheritance, as it says, incorruptible and undefiled and unfading. It's never going to end. This is never going to end. We need to be faithful, because Christ is faithful. God is faithful too, as well, that He's going to bring us through these things. So we have something that the angels, they can't see. They can't see. There's only one that can see. That is God. And He's the one that's going to search your heart. He's going to search your mind. He's going to boost us where we need to get boosted. The angels can't see. And they're jealous. They are. They're jealous. God is jealous too. Because He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to pull through faithfully. So we got to have that faith that we cannot see Jesus right now, but by faith, you can see Him. The way to do that, jump to the Bible. Jump to the Bible. Thank you.
Faith is what we're talking about tonight. I read something that made sense in my mind a little bit, that faith, though it is unseen, it's kind of like Wi-Fi. Though it's unseen, it has the power to connect you to what you want. You see, let's turn over to Romans chapter 1 when I'm talking here. You see, the Maker knows what we need. But the question is, do we truly trust Him that He'll provide that? And do we truly trust Him that He knows what He's doing? Even though we might not know how He's going to accomplish it. Another quote I read about faith said, to the one that has faith, no explanation is needed. But to the one that has no faith, no explanation is possible. You see, God said He will. Now, what we need to get figured out in our mind is we need to have a faith that he's going to do what he said. We pick up our context there, Romans chapter 1, reading verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith to faith. But as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. That's what I want to kind of move on. The righteous shall live by faith. Sounds like there's some action there. There's a way that we're going to live our life, living in faith. You see, true faith is going to produce something in us that can be seen by others. But then the question is, well, what does that look like in our life? Well, it's more than just I go to church. It's more than just I read my Bible. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 said, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But you see, what does this belief look like in action? Well, let's turn over to Hebrews 11. We're going to see what this looks like in action. Laying a foundation here, Abraham's told to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. But kind of like as Matthew was talking there, it's not the blind leap. Abraham just didn't say okay and jump into it without thinking through it first. If we pick it up in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. Now, verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. You see, Abraham thought it through. You see, faith is something thought out that produces, by our belief in something, actions that can be seen that prove our faith. You know, you might say, well, I haven't been asked to sacrifice my child, so how am I going to prove that I really have faith? Yeah, it might not look that evident in your life, but there are examples of how we prove our faith to other people. And it just might be like these are some that I could think of. You have a choice to either work on Sunday or show up to assembly. Now, faith would say, if I turn down working on Sunday, then God will provide a way for me to make enough money to pay the bills on the other days of the week. Somewhere else your faith might show up is in your tithing. You say, well, if I tithe, I will not be able to pay my bills. But see, if we reason through it with like a mind like Abraham did, and we think through this, we'll see that that very thing is a testing of our faith. You see, for me, God's working on my faith to keep my wife and my daughter safe when I'm not around. You see, I feel it's my job to be the protector. But when I'm not there, I can't protect them. It's God's job to be the protector of my family. Only through His power is that family protected. You see, that's reassuring to lean into God, to trust Him with faith that things will be taken care of because I cannot handle everything on my own, nor do I want to. You see, our Maker is the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the one that closed the mouths of the lions for Daniel. But is this just stories that we were told, or is this something we truly believe? If we truly believe this, we should know that God can do this in our life also, whatever that might be. This is also the same God that saved three men that were turned into a hot, hot furnace. And you ask, well, where was God during this? When the onlookers looked into that furnace, how many people did they see? Four. God was standing there right beside them. Now, if we truly have faith, that's where God's going to be with us and everything, is right beside us. But you have to ask yourself, is your faith strong enough? Can your faith be seen by others in your life? Are we living by faith?
Good evening. Turn to Hebrews 4 if you're not already there. Tough act to follow. I kind of was hoping I'd go first, but here we go. The scripture that I was given is Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. You know, it's often mentioned that faith has to be accompanied with understanding, with reasoning. We're told in the prophet Isaiah, come, let us reason with one another. You know, our faith has to be anchored in truth. But we have to understand and believe that if we do step out there, that we already know before we step that that's there. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. We're not going to have this if we don't have an understanding that goes with our faith. We all, as Christians, as God's people, want to be pleasing to God. And we know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that it's without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. What does this mean to seek God? Does it mean to know what this says? It's been mentioned in our ongoing Bible study class that you know, anyone can read this. There's a lot of smart people out there. Many people can get pretty good portions of this, but without the understanding of what it says, you have to work your way through this. Where faith requires action. If we don't believe something, we're not going to act. How are we going to believe unless we understand? You know, we're not under a works-based system now. We're under a faith-based system. Scripture tells us that faith is the victory. Let's turn back to, we didn't turn away from it, but I like what this builds up to in at the end of chapter 3 of Hebrews. And take it off in verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Brethren, it also takes each other encouraging one another. I can study this, and I can meet with my teacher, Kevin, can study this out for many years, and I can do pretty well. And Kevin's a great guy. I love him dearly. But without all of you encouraging me, I wouldn't be where I am today. We have to encourage one another. The body builds up the body. This is another big part of faith. It's why being together is so important. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter into His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. See, we know that James, in fact, tells us that, look it, your faith without action is dead. Why is that? I always like the example that Jeremiah pointed out to me years ago. If you're standing on the railroad tracks and somebody yells to you, you can't hear anything, but you can see this person waving at you like this, get off the tracks, and you say, yeah, okay. And you never move, did you really believe that train was coming? If you did, would you get off the track? Yeah. Faith has to be accompanied with works. And faith is the victory. Thank you.
Wow, I'm sure encouraged to be able to hear everybody and hear everybody's examples that bring forth from the scriptures of how they live their lives and how that's demonstrated within the assembly here. Turn to Romans 10:17 is the verse that I was instructed to be able to lead from. I'm just going to start with 17. There's some background to this that usually goes with it, but I'm going to, from where I'm taking this, I'm going to go ahead and read just verse 17 and go from there. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith comes from hearing. Why the hearing part? Why would God put that in there? The hearing that He's talking about is the hearing of this being spoken through those that are of God, of Christ. Because you can hear something and someone can tell you something, but does that mean it's true? See, the hearing that actually comes from the truth that's spoken from here is the truth. And it isn't just truth because any one of us says so. It's truth because we can tear it apart and put it back together and we know that it's right. It isn't something that's arbitrarily just built. You go down further from where Matthew was reading in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Wow. So we say, okay, so faith comes from hearing and hear by the word of God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So then we ask, we would go to the next logical, well, I need faith. Right? But here's where the difficult part comes, because with faith comes something called work. The initial work is done by Christ because we have believed what He has said in His Word. But that faith, when someone says, wow, I want to be like Him, I want to have their faith, that isn't work that you put in, and that isn't something that you're going to value. because you haven't put in the work of the gospel to be able to get that back. You haven't been able to see God work in your life and the things that He has told us to do. He said to go, didn't He? Well, sometimes that's even hard for all of us, even us that have been in Christ for a while, to do at certain points. Sometimes it's hard to ask the questions why. Why this is happening? What's to be learned from this situation? But if we didn't have these things, would our faith be strong? Where would we be without that? Without that full belief? Because every time that this happens, every time that we get to go through the Scriptures, every time we get to prove everything that comes back, that and prove it not only to people, but to know that by faith we're able to please God. And the faith that we have can't be moved. That's something no one can take away from us. That's something that is there. God has given it to us in this way because He knows if you don't have to spend time and work for something, then you're not going to appreciate it. How are we going to fully appreciate God's Word if we don't have the faith to stand behind everything that He says and follow through with those things? These are the things that encourage me to be able to examine this, to be able to know that, hey, guess what? I might have some work to do, but you know what? I know that work's going to pay off. And I know that whoever I'm going to be talking to about Christ, whether I'm having to defend it or whether I'm having to present the gospel to it, that faith that I have that's been presented from the gospel is going to be able to shine through in those works that I'm able to do. And this would not happen if each and one of us, all of us had different levels of faith, all of us different, grow in different ways. Christ gave us a great example to be able to look up to, but you know what? He had to work too. He showed us a great example of that. So I encourage us, keep working, keep striving for that faith, to have something to hold on to. Not just air. People think, faith. So, well, all right. We'll see where your faith lies. With that, thank you.
I like these shotguns. They really give me a little burst. And to see, the different guys and things they're thinking through and fighting through. And, I mean, it comes out. Like Justin said, we all grow in different ways. But, man, there's a lot of similar questions that we have to work our way through. There's a lot of similar challenges that we have to overcome. And so I'm just appreciative for you guys, for the congregation as a whole, for the encouragement, the openness that we have in sharing this, and let's keep building, let's keep growing, let's keep, growing in that faith. Hearing, a good close to that. We gotta hear. Why does He bring that up? Gotta be willing to listen, don't we? Okay, to God's word, and then put in that work to grow through. And guys, along the way, one of the things that encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, is we are all in this together. There are times it's tough. There are times it's tougher than others. But our brethren, we go through the same stuff. And maybe sometimes some of us, we're in the easy stretch. And we can help out those that are in the tougher stretch. And then, it goes around. So let's keep working together as a body. I'm certainly appreciative and encouraged by the words you guys brought forth tonight. Let's close the word of prayer.